Parry the Hammer with further review by Housecrafters. Housecrafters provides complete home renovation services with one call does it all. That includes exterior home services like roofing, siding, home additions, and much more. Call 716-646-NAIL.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Further Review Podcast for the Buffalo News. I'm Jay Skirsky, joined by Perrin Keyes. Perrin is still in the press box burning the midnight oil at Highmark Stadium. I am back at my home in Amherst here late Sunday evening, or I guess reasonably late Sunday evening. New recording time for us, one time only kind of a deal. So it's very fresh here, right, Perrin? The results here of this Bills 39-34 win over the Bengals. You're still editing copy, actually, for the Monday Sports edition of the paper, coming off of a big Bills win.
Monday edition. It still comes out. You can still get it in the standard print format, just in a different way, of course. 8 pages of Bills and NFL coverage, whether you get that in an e-edition or the old printed paper coast to coast. There are not many other news organizations that'll give you that much, and I can say that with a relative high degree of authority. So, yes, we're hot and fresh here on a Sunday night, unlike all the poor fans who had to sit out there in the stadium. They were not hot. Maybe they were fresh, but that's more than I really care to know.
All right. Well, with all those shameless plugs out of the way, we will get right into discussing the game, right? And the meat and potatoes of this podcast, obviously dealing with the Bills' big victory, as I mentioned, 39-34 over the Bengals. We got to start with Josh Allen. The league MVP showed why, I think, is probably the best way of putting it. Just an absolute transcendent performance against a fellow awesome quarterback in Joe Burrow of the Bengals. You know, the thing that I was thinking about, Perrin, right before we started and driving home from the stadium is that, you know, when the lights are bright and when it's a matchup of Burrow or Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, so often we see the best from Josh Allen. And I think you could build the case that his three best games this season have been against those three quarterbacks, Baltimore in the opener, the Chiefs game, and then this game against Burrow and the Bengals. I mean, when the Bills need him to be at his best, so often Josh Allen delivers, and he did that again today. You know, four total touchdowns, 3 through the air. Just, you know, where do you even begin? I mean, the rushing totals, right? It's cheat code. You know, 80 yards on the ground, excluding the 2 kneel downs at the end of the game that took the total to 78. But he's borderline impossible to defend when he is when he goes into that beast mode on the ground, and we saw that a lot against the Bengals.
When he's on and he's making the right decisions, he's just, as we've said so many other times before, he's the best player in the NFL, and that's why we'll get to the AFC picture at least a little bit later here in the show. But that's why, even if the Bills go in as a number 6 seed or a 7 seed or anything higher, and no matter where they are, they're going to have a shot. You know, they might lose in the first weekend of the playoffs. They might go all the way to the Super Bowl and win it. Why? Because they've got number 17. You know, they were down 2 scores. They needed a quick score. I put that in the live updates. I handle the live updates at BuffaloNews.com so the writers can focus on what they need to do, obviously, and, you know, just put a post in there like, look, after the Bengals scored to go up 2 scores, hey, look, the Bills are going to need a quick score here. Josh Allen's going to have to do something that the Bills, you know, frankly, struggle at times to do, which, of course, is score quickly because they don't have much of a downfield threat, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But lo and behold, he turns into Superman, just as you said. You know, this is the one of the dangers of playing zone against Josh Allen, because if the corners and all the DBs and linebackers in coverage turn their backs to the play and Josh Allen gets free, well, there you have it. He scampers. He literally does the 40-yard dash to the end zone in this case. And he plays not flawless football, but just about as close as you can possibly play to flawless football. Excuse me, 22 of 28, 251 yards, 3 touchdowns. And, of course, the most important thing, no interceptions. And just as you said, to put a little finer point on that, Jay, in terms of sort of shining when the lights are brightest against the best of the best, well, that's also something that's been symptomatic of the Bills and Josh Allen, too, in the month of December, as you've written about. They are now 19-3 their last 22 games in December. And so, hey, giddy up. Good for Josh Allen.
Yeah, 40 yards, talking about giddy up, right? 40 yards is the touchdown run with 7:33 remaining in the fourth quarter. It's his longest touchdown run of his career in the regular season. Full disclosure, as I'm getting crushed online, I tweeted at 8:44 that's about it for the Bills. That was after Mike Gesicki's 12-yard touchdown pass made the score 28-18. And I will stand by. People were leaving. We sit in the press box, the section right below us. There were more than a few fans that packed up and headed for the exits at that time. People are pushing back on that idea, but it did happen. I saw it with my own two eyes. Perrin, you probably saw it as well.
Yep.
I'll freely admit I was wrong. Listen, with Josh Allen, you always got a chance. Probably should have learned that lesson in Baltimore against Baltimore in week one. But this has not been a quick strike offense, to your point. But when Josh Allen just decides, hey, I'm going to put the team on my back and I'm going to go get it done, we saw what can happen, and this was another one of those classic games. And you think, you know, two games left probably in this home stadium, and, you know, the snow is falling. Josh Allen is doing Josh Allen things. This is one of those games that I think people are going to remember at Highmark Stadium for a long time.
Harry the Hammer goes to work.
Harry the Hammer here from House Crafters, and I am one happy hammer. We just finished this addition and kitchen, and it's beautiful. Look at this place. It's gorgeous. If you have a remodeling project in mind, a kitchen, bathroom, or mother-in-law apartment, one call really does do it all at House Crafters. For a free estimate, call House Crafters at 646-NAIL.
Well, Jay, one of the reasons it didn't look very good for at least a little bit there in the second half, if not a lot in the second half, was because the Bills were struggling with turnovers, or they did to start off, meaning that they were minus one. The first turnover of the game, of course, was from one of their best players, James Cook. Now, this is his fourth fumble, if I'm not mistaken, in the last two games. And, of course, he fumbled the ball very, very close to the goal line, which on a play that, of course, got called back. And then not very long later, he fumbles into the end zone going in. And you say, geez, that's the definition of a golden opportunity that goes by the wayside, a missed opportunity that you can't afford against Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Next thing you know, boy, Christian Benford with an acrobatic, instinctive play, play of the game, yet another touchdown, second in as many games, a huge pick six followed very quickly. And when I say very quickly, I mean back-to-back offensive plays for the Bengals, followed by a tip by Jordan Phillips, and an interception by A.J. Epinesa. You want to talk about timely turnovers, which is something to build, timely takeaways, which is something the Bills have not had much of lately before the game in Pittsburgh. That was something they feasted on, of course, last year. They were down in the bottom half of the league in turnover margin going into today. They are now up to 16th, minus one for the season. But no matter how you slice it, they were plus one in this game. That really wound up being the difference. Two huge takeaways by the Buffalo Bills defense.
Yeah, for a team that, you know, led the NFL in turnover differential last season. And so that's been a big change. And you kind of knew that there was going to be maybe some regression in that category. But for them to get those takeaways could not have been any more timely for this defense. Because, you know, let's reset things, Perrin, as you kind of just did there a little bit. You know, Cook fumbles with about a minute to go in the third quarter. The Bengals respond with a 12-play, 80-yard touchdown drive. So you're looking at, you know, the score at the time of the Cook fumble was 21-18. The Bills are poised to take the lead in this game, going, you know, very close to the fourth quarter. Instead, it's a 10-point deficit with 8:44 remaining, as I had mentioned. And yes, Allen responds, but you're still trailing after that Allen touchdown run, 28-25, with a defense that to that point had shown an inability, really, to stop Joe Burrow at all, with the exception of a three and out to start the third quarter. And so to say that the Benford pick six was unexpected is not even fair. It's not doing it, you know, nearly enough justice, because you just don't expect, number one, Burrow to make an error like that. And that individual effort from Benford is among the very best that we've seen all season from any Bills player, offense or defense. You know, we'll joke with our colleague, Catherine Fitzgerald, who has become sort of the Christian Benford beat writer here the last couple of weeks, because she's writing Benford after the Steelers game. She's writing Benford going into this game because, hey, who's he going to be up against? Mostly Ja'Marr Chase, maybe the best receiver, for my money, the best receiver in the NFL. Well, you look at the total for Ja'Marr Chase, it is, and I'm looking at the game book here right now, 5 catches for 44 yards. You'll sign up for that any day of the week against Ja'Marr Chase. Benford did a phenomenal job in this game beyond just the interception, but the interception is one of those plays that you're going to remember for a long time, and the roar in that stadium when it happens, you're going to remember for a long time. So this is a defense that has its issues, right? We know that, and we're going to get to some of those a little bit later in the show. Spoiler alert, third downs might come up, right? But for them to get the takeaways that they did, as timely as they were, as impactful as they were, Benford scoring, meanwhile, don't forget about that, right? It's one thing to make the play, and then to outrun Ja'Marr Chase, get into the end zone, and then for the offense to cash in the Epinesa interception on the next drive, really just transform this entire game. That's what I led my observations with. You can't say enough about those plays. And the Bills, you know, in the locker room after the game, talking about Christian Benford's interception, a lot of good quotes coming out of that room, as you would expect. And James Cook saying, that's why we paid the guy. And as he so often is, very succinct. You're not going to get a ton of words from James Cook, but they're pretty impactful. And that, I thought, said it best when it comes to Benford. That's why you pay him as a number one cornerback, is to make plays like that. I would go so far, Perrin, as to say that that could be not just game-changing, but that could be season-changing for the Bills.
Well, I don't think there's any question. Look, you teed me up perfectly, Jay, I got to say, and we'll give credit where credit's due. And Catherine's story that is up at BuffaloNews.com, according to Next Gen Stats, NFL's Next Gen Stats, Benford's play moved the Bills' win probability by 60.8 percentage points. It was 16.2% before that play, went all the way up to 77%. It was the single biggest win probability swing on any play outside of the last 2 minutes since 2016 when Next Gen Stats began. So that tells you everything you need to know. Look, but it was still an uphill battle. I mean, when I say uphill battle, I mean big-time uphill battle for the Bills to get the ball, just as you said, for the Bills to get the ball out of Burrow's hands without him scoring, and they were still down. And then that changed everything. You know, it certainly energized the sideline, energized the crowd. That may have warmed them up more than anything on this cold day. And so, you know, that's as impactful gets. And to put a little finer point on that, according to Pro Football Focus, he was matched up one-on-one. Hey, I'll take the number one guy, right? He was matched up one-on-one against Chase on 16 snaps. I actually thought it was more than that, but 16 snaps. And of those 16 snaps, Chase got targeted twice, no receptions. That tells you all you need to know. And certainly T. Higgins did some damage on the other side. But if you shut down, as you say, the best receiver in the NFL from Archbishop Rumble in Metairie, Louisiana, he did. And that's about as good as it gets.
And Perrin, I wrote in the report card, which may be available at BuffaloNews.com very soon, if it isn't already, that this has been, I would say, a grind of not just a game for the Bills, but really of a season. And to their credit, they've grinded out 9 victories against just 4 losses. But Sean McDermott, in his post-game press conference, was quick to point out that there are things to work on, that they are not where they need to be. And I think anyone who watched the first half of that game, really the first 3 quarters of that game, would attest to that or could attest to that. Defensively, for me, the issues, and this is not breaking any real ground here, is the third downs and the inability to get off the field, particularly early in that game. But really, it was throughout. The Bengals start the game going 7 for 7. Their first 7 third down conversions are picked up. The first stop that they get is a third and long that Joe Burrow actually slightly overthrows T. Higgins, actually had him. So they almost went a perfect 8 for 8 in the first half. They finished the game, though, 10 of 12, above 80% conversion rate on third downs. And that is a tough living if you are a defense. And yes, the Bills got the timely takeaways, as we mentioned earlier in the show, and those were certainly big. But you don't want to have to depend on those, and you want to be able to get off the field on third down to get the ball back to Josh Allen in the offense. And the defense was unable to do that. You know, going into this game, the Bills ranked 13th in the NFL in third down conversions allowed. I think anyone who watches the Bills with any regularity would maybe be a little bit surprised by that, because it feels, for all the world, like the eyeball test suggests they are not that good on third down. I don't know, you know, what it is exactly about third and longs, especially, that they seem to really struggle to stop. But it's been an ongoing issue for this defense. I think it's one that's got to concern Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich, the defensive coordinator.
Well, I don't think there's any question. I will say, as you were speaking, Jay, I was thinking about, gee whiz, 13th, they're that good. I'll say this, and I don't know what made me think of this just right off the top of my head, because it usually doesn't come to me that quickly. But if you remember the second game of the season, they held the Jets to 0 for 11. Take that out, and yep. I wonder where they might be. 0 for 11 is certainly not emblematic of what the Bills defense has done on third down this year, and certainly not in this game. You know, one thing I think that's key to them having such struggles on third downs, certainly in this game, if not the last couple of games. Well, that's not fair. I was about to say the pass rush. They had a great pass rush and certainly had impactful sacks. Well, I'm thinking of one that Joey Bosa had on Aaron Rodgers the week before. Well, of course, Joey Bosa's not on the field right now. And you saw that tonight. You saw that Sunday against the Bengals. The Bills just did not get much pressure on Joe Burrow from their front four. And what resulted in that, or the result of that, was that Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich, who are sort of philosophically averse, as you might put it, Jay, to wanting to blitz more often than not, they decided they pretty much had to. They didn't have much of a choice than to start bringing guys off the corner and sending linebackers in to try to go get them. Now, of course, you know, you do that, you're sort of robbing Peter to pay Paul on the back end. And sometimes you're going to get burned, and especially against a guy like Joe Burrow, who certainly burned them a couple of times on third downs on those, finding the hot read and getting it out and getting it on the money, which he's so good at doing, to those receivers to move the chains. So that's going to be a difficult thing. That's going to be a thing that they're going to have to improve on, no matter how you slice it, is the pass rush. You think about some of the other problems they might have had, or I should say continue to have, and of course one of them is downfield passing, right? It's that old thing. It seems weird and sort of counterintuitive to start nitpicking about things when you've got one of the best offenses in the league, and it's certainly maybe the best player in the game right now, especially when he's hot. But by the same token, look, the tight ends, the Bills tight ends burned Cincinnati all day and all night on Sunday, and that was something that they suspected they might have success with going into this game, because the Bengals have struggled to defend the tight end all year. All that having been said, Gabe Davis, 2 receptions. Khalil Shakir, 2 receptions. Tyrell Shavers, 1 reception. Keon Coleman, 2 receptions. It's not a lot from your receiving core. It's enough in certain they all came up with, fairly crucial catches and crucial moments, but you're still not getting that one, the big play action pass with the guy going all the way down the post. We know that they're trying to address this thing. We know that, and let's be fair too, this is not a game. Sunday's game in the snow was not exactly tailored to speed merchants like Brandon Cooks and Gabe Davis, who's had success earlier in his career on deep routes. But one way or the other, they're going to have to figure out a way how to do that. And just as you said, listen, Josh Allen, this was his first game in quite a while. I mean, you might remember the exact number of weeks, but this is his first game in quite a while without an interception. And then when James Cook fumbles, again, that's your 2 best players on offense, maybe your 2 best players on the entire team. You have the ball in their hands. I don't know what you can do about that. You can't. That's certainly not suspect play calling when they have the ball and they're the ones who are coughing it up. So you got to clean that up as well. And of course, the third down defense is something that they're going to have to take a longer look at and try to figure out as they go down the road. Okay, Jay, we're on to the rest of the season now. we're going to have the big Dukaroo here on Sunday. I shouldn't say here on Sunday. It'll be in Foxborough. The Bills are still looking up at the New England Patriots, 2 games behind. And we've discussed ad nauseum the Patriots' soft schedule the rest of the way. They will be favored in all these games, the rest of their games, after they play the Bills. They were off this week. You look around at the rest of the AFC, and this is why maybe we talk about the Bills having as good a shot as any team. Their road struggles notwithstanding, they still, there's not that dominant team in the AFC. The Colts certainly look like a team to be reckoned with earlier this season. They might not make the playoffs. Now, of course, Daniel Jones looks like he's suffered a torn Achilles. He's probably done for the year. They, of course, gave up 2 first-round draft picks to get Sauce Gardner. Now they're going to be, you know, they're going to be in a spot. We'll put it to you like that. And the good news, if you're the Bills, is, of course, is that you can win from anywhere, or you have the potential to win no matter what seeding you're in. But first things first, you're going to have to play the Patriots. And then after that, you know, you're going to have a game against the Cleveland and then the Eagles. That'll be their toughest one to finish out before they play the Jets to finish out the regular season. So the road is ahead of them. It's clearly defined. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy.
No, not at all. I mean, you look at this New England game, and yes, they closed the Patriots lead to 2 games and as opposed to 2.5 going into it. But, you know, everything has really come up New England, right, this year, you know, even up to and including the fact that they get the bye week to prepare for the Bills, an exceptionally late bye week, the latest bye week that is possible for a team, and the Patriots get it with the Bills coming into Foxborough. So that's, you know, that's advantageous for them as well. You know, New England's games after Buffalo, they play the Ravens. That could be a desperate team, but then they finish with the with the Jets and the Dolphins. So two winnable games, three winnable games, really, because the Ravens are not right. We see that today with a loss to the Steelers. So I still think that the Bills' division hopes, I would say, are faint. But this win does, I think, solidify in a lot of different ways. They're going to feel pretty good about their playoff chances coming out of this week. And, you know, full disclosure, we're recording here as the Texans and the Chiefs are playing. That will have an impact on the bottom half of those AFC playoff standings as well. I'm interested to see this New England game for a couple of different reasons, because I want to know if the Patriots are for real, you know, and I think a big part of me still needs to see more from them. Yeah, the win in Buffalo was impressive. I would say the win in Tampa was probably, you know, up there as well, but you don't have a ton of statement victories. And again, they don't have to apologize for their schedule. You play who is on your schedule. But to suggest that they are going to be January proven because of an 11-2 record at this point, I think is a little premature, quite frankly. And so, if New England handles the Bills and wins the division, which I believe they would, if they win next week, I think they would clinch the AFC East. Then, you know, that you kind of look at the Patriots in a different light if that happens. So, you know, obviously this game is going to, you know, be written and talked about. It's going to be one of the games of the week, if not the game of the week in the NFL next weekend. Looking at the rest of the AFC real quick, you mentioned the Colts. I mean, the injury to Jones, I think, is devastating for them. I mean, they're going to go from 7-1 to now 8-5. And in my mind, I think they're going to fall out of the playoff race entirely. And so the AFC, you know, I said this to Sal Majorana from Rochester, who I sit next to during the games. Had the Bills lost this game, the possibility that Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes all missed the playoffs would have been very high. The Bills winning, I think, gets Josh Allen a lot closer to being, you know, in that playoff discussion. The other three, though, very much could miss the playoffs. So that's Burrow, that's Jackson, that's Mahomes. If you are the Bills going into this year and said, you're not going to get the number one seed, but guess what? These three guys are going to miss the playoffs. You probably would have signed up for that. And so, yeah, you know, the Patriots are doing big things, and the Broncos have a really good record and all of that. But right now, to me, the AFC feels as wide open as it perhaps has ever been since Patrick Mahomes came into the league, particularly if Kansas City misses the playoffs. So for the Bills right now, it's survive and advance. They're not getting style points all the time. You know, this game had its, you know, it had its warts, right? Certainly defensively in the first half, but they got the job done when it mattered most after halftime. Josh Allen looked like the MVP, which is probably the best piece of news that you can take out of this game. And now it sets up a classic showdown in Foxborough in week 15. I will be there along with Catherine and Lance from the Buffalo News. Really looking forward to that. And what will be a busy, fun week, promoting our coverage at the Buffalo News for that game. So, for Perrin, it's been a long day. I know he wants to get out of the press box and get home, get next to the fire, and maybe catch the second half of this Chiefs game. That's what I'm going to try to do now here. We will be back on Monday. That will be December 15th, following the Bills game against New England, with the next edition of the Further Review podcast. So thank you very much for watching this one, and read all of our coverage at BuffaloNews.com.
This is Harry the Hammer for further review by House Crafters. House Crafters provides complete home renovation services with one call does it all. That includes interior home services as well as windows and doors. Call 716-646-NAIL.